Okay, today I want to look at Leviticus chapter 23 to start with. I'm hoping to go through some of the feasts if we can. There's seven of them that the Lord's proclaimed, and Leviticus 23 is a good starting point to set us on that place where God's speaking. And someone said to me, "Oh, I don't go to the Old Testament. It's all full of battles and blood and stuff. I don't like the Old Testament." And I shuddered and I thought, "Wow, how long have you been a child of God and you don't know what the Word of God's all about?" So it behooves us to get into the Word of God, Old Testament, New Testament. It's all inspired by Him. Therefore, why would He write it inspired and then for us not to read it and hopefully understand it, okay? So if He wrote and inspired it, do you think He'd give us help in understanding it if we ask for it? I mean, that to me is a logical presentation, but it has to come from you wanting the Spirit of God to work in your life. It doesn't come automatically, I'm afraid. If you don't ask the Spirit of God to inform you what it says, you in your intellect will not gain what God has. I found that to be true. I'm number than a stump. I'm as numb as a pounded thumb. But when it comes to the Word of God, there's some things in it that jumps out and it screams at me. Where'd that come from? You're in the Word of God and you're asking God to help you. Otherwise, I'm not going to get it. I've learned that in my years. Trust me. Lean upon the Holy Spirit of God to teach you these truths. Because you're not going to get it from a man. You're not going to get it from a book. You're only going to get it from the Spirit of God teaching you these things are true. Okay? I'm serious. I get so frustrated with myself that I don't grasp what it says. There's things in here that just are titillating. Someone said we barely touched the rim of Christianity. And I think they're right. There's a whole ocean out there to dive into of the Word of God that it teaches. And we don't avail ourselves of that. We do the shoes and ships and sealing wax and cabbages and kings. But we don't talk about the blessed things that really count. When you come together, do you talk about the Lord Jesus with each other? Or do you talk about the weather and the vacation and the kids and what the grandchildren are doing and what you did yesterday? And do we talk about Jesus? God does. Don't forget when He said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Remember when He said that? When he was baptized. Remember that? And John baptized Him, and when He came up out of the water, what did God say? "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Then, when He was transfigured, in the transfiguration, do you know what God said about Him? He said, "This is my beloved Son, hear ye Him." That resurrected one of the Son of God, all glorious. Hear Him. Hear Him. That's the point. Listen to the Word of God and you're going to come away with Jesus Christ. Okay? That's my advice. Now, Leviticus is going to give us some feasts that God desired. Let's read a little bit in here. Now, I'm not going to read the whole thing because the whole chapter talks about it. And it's interspersed in Deuteronomy and other books here, but specifically I want to look at this rendering. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, concerning the feasts of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations, that is, these are my feasts. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of rest and holy convocation. Ye shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings." And these are the feasts of the Lord, that is, holy convocations, which ye shall proclaim in their seasons. Now, we'll go on with what they are, But the first one I notice here is what? What are we supposed to keep? The Sabbath. The Sabbath, well, what the Sabbath is what? Is a day of rest. Then who is the one who is our rest? Jesus Christ is our rest, is he not? So here, Jesus Christ fulfills the Sabbath. Whoa. Now, if we go on to read all of them, there's going to be the Passover and unleavened bread, and there's going to be the first fruits, there's going to be Pentecost, there's going to be trumpets, there's going to be atonement, there's going to be the Feast of Booths or Tabernacles. Okay? We'll get down through them in the ensuing weeks, I hope. So I wanted to just look at them to give you an idea of why I think they pertain to us. We don't keep the feasts, per se, but we should know the feasts and why God put them down and how then do they relate to us today. Well, who was our Passover? Who was the Lamb of God? Who is the Paschal Lamb? Isn't it Jesus? He's our Passover. Okay? Who is the bread of life? Who is our unleavened bread? Isn't it Jesus Christ? The unleavened bread. How about the first fruits? He says, I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus Christ is first fruits. How about Pentecost? Who's the head of the church? The Lord Jesus, he's our Pentecost. How about the Feast of Trumpets? The ingathering. When the last trump shall sound, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Jesus Christ is our resurrection, is he not? Do you see, God's fit all this in for you so that you can celebrate these feasts and see Jesus. Or when you see Jesus, you celebrate these feasts, okay? And then there's the Day of Atonement. Who is the one who atoned for our death? Or our sin, I should say. Who is the one that? Jesus Christ again. And in the Feast of Booths, it's God's provision for mankind. And who is the one who provides for us? Our Savior. So he fits all of those things. Now, we can also take those feasts, and you'll see them in the time slots where they belong and how Jesus Christ fulfilled three of them, and the other three are about to be fulfilled in prophecy, okay? That, to me, is like an overall for where I'd like to go with the thoughts of the feasts, how they fit into our lives today. So we should recognize them rather than just say, oh, that's Old Testament. No, it's there for a reason. Somebody said this morning, I heard on the radio, I didn't commit it to memory, but there's a verse that says, these things are written for our admonition. I can't remember where it is. Anyway, some of you with Bible helps might be able to find it, but these things of the Old Testament were written for our admonition today. That's why it was put there. So it behooves us to what? To read and study the Old Testament, just as well as the New Testament. I know, I love the New Testament. It's fun to go through, but there's something special about the Old Testament. Some of the stuff you'll go, you'll fall over sideways because you can't pronounce half of the names that they throw at you. But those names are important to God. That's why he put them in the Word of God. And as you study it, there's going to be a little blip, little something jump out that you can grasp. So hang on to that because they're good. God put them there for our admonition. You have to find them. If we all like gold and silver and jewels and diamonds, and where do you get them? Early on, you didn't go down to the Tiffany's or wherever to get them. You had to go dig in the ground for them, didn't you? And you had to recognize what you had when you dug it. You know? When you dig something up out of the ground, what is it? It's a bunch of pyrite. What do we do with that? Maybe we'll hit somebody with it because it's heavy and hard. Well, maybe, hey, it's iron. How do you know that? Well, you process it. Where did tin come from? Where did lead come from? Where did brass come from? Or copper? All come from out of the ground. But you had to go dig it. So what do you think is in here? Wonderful truths, my friends. Wonderful nuggets of truth. You got to dig them. You got to go get them. Okay? They're not laying on the surface. The minute you open the Bible, they fall out. So get into it. Be a regular Bible reader and studier. Okay? Can you do that? Will you do that? We'll grow in grace when that happens. And the foibles that you've got, a lot of them are going to drop off. And reality will set in about what God wants me to be. He wants me to be one of his children who loves his children. That's why we ought to pray for the persecuted church. They're in trouble from the ungodly. We got to pray for the ungodly as well, don't we? So you see how it fits together wonderfully. Don't forget, this first Sabbath day is the first one on the list. And what? It's a memorial to God's creation. What were we supposed to do? They're supposed to rest just like God did after what? He labored for 6 days and he rested on the seventh. I don't think he was exhausted. I don't think it would, he needed to lie down. I don't think that was that. Not with God. I mean, when you study who God is, it's awesome. I remember one professor saying, I'm just amazed it took him 6 days. okay. So that professor had it right. He was amazed that it took God 6 days. He could speak things into existence. You know what ex nihilo is? Yeah, out of nothing. Okay. Do you know that scientists take certain chemicals, throw them together, and do you know what they get? Nothing. God took that nothing, and he made something. Whew. We've got a God that is amazing. And what that amazing God will do for you and for me is also amazing if you let him. We don't know what God will do for us because we don't let him. We got strongholds behind these eyeballs that we don't let anybody have. They're ours. And we'll challenge anybody when we look at them. We want to get rid of those strongholds, let God have his way. He'll do wonderful things with us. Starting with the Sabbath. It's a day of rest. It's the day that we should set aside. And right now it could be the Sunday we set aside. That could be our Sabbath day of rest. To allow the Spirit of God to use us. It's a memorial. it was so important. Do you remember? Thou shalt keep the Sabbath day, keep it holy. Where'd that come from? Commandments of God. He takes one of the commandments and he says, Sabbath day, keep it holy. And what's a holy convocation? Does anybody gather what that is? It's what we do here. Yeah. This is a holy convocation. We've decided to gather together in Jesus' name to pray and to sing praises to God, right? That's what we came to do, I hope. Okay. That's a holy convocation. That you're supposed to keep for the days that are programmed by God. That's what the Sabbath is supposed to be about. It's an exceptional day in a sense. It's very important that we have this kind of a day as rest. We're to observe it to give God the glory. Now, let me give you just a kind of an idea of a Jewish culture and customs. I got this from. And this is the Shabbat, which is the Sabbath. And it says, holidays are commemoration days used by most people to participate in recreational activities, to travel, or just relax. Conversely, holy days are special days set aside for worship. Holidays provide a time of release from the everyday pursuit of pleasure. Holy days provide a time to release ourselves to please God through song, prayer, meditation. Many people enjoy a holiday, but far fewer experience a holy day. God commanded the Israelites to observe a holy day, that is a Yom Kodesh, on a weekly basis, and that's the Sabbath. God wanted us to come apart just like he wanted Israel to set aside that one day to remember him and to commemorate the holy day to him. Now, they go on to say now, Judaism considered the Shabbat or Sabbath observance to be the high point of the week. It's a day of delight. It's a jewel, a bride, a queen. So important a day is it that some believe that if it were properly observed by the Jewish people, the world to come would be ushered in. Biblically, violation of Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, considered the most holy day in Judaism, resulted in excommunication. It was something else to violate the Sabbath day. Now, somebody look up Exodus 31:15 and take a look at what resulted in not keeping the Sabbath day. Somebody look that up for me, please. Exodus 31:15. And read it so we all can.
Holy to the Lord. Whosoever does any work in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death.
Surely put to death. You better keep the Sabbath. Well, I think if you don't keep the Sabbath spiritually, you could be in trouble too, huh? Weak and impoverished, maybe. You know? So God says it thinks it was so important that he says, you keep it or you're going to die. Wow. That's scary. How serious is God about the Sabbath? How serious should we be about the Sabbath? Do you see what coming together and praying and trusting Jesus Christ really should be about? Not personal differences. Our personalities shouldn't enter into it at all. We should be here to worship and to serve him who died for us and rose again. We're going to remember that this morning. That blessed Son of God hanging naked before the world, before his mother, bleeding, in agony, dying, being made something he abhorred. He was made sin for us. Shouldn't we remember wonderfully the body and the blood of Jesus Christ? He is so precious. He's amazing. So, the problem that we have is, for the Jewish people, Shabbat memorializes two incredible and miraculous events. It is regarded as a climax of creation. God worked 6 days and rested on the seventh. Mankind, therefore, must emulate God and do the same. Work is defined as any activity that creates, produces, or transforms for use. The second event memorializes is the Exodus, when God freed his people from the Egyptian taskmasters. Shabbat provides a weekly liberation from the taskmasters of life. Concerns about occupations, chores at home, school, or the stresses of life are set aside on this day. Shabbat is a day for Jewish people to revitalize and rejuvenate themselves spiritually, emotionally, and physically. So that's the way the Jewish people look at the Sabbath day. And we miss our Sundays because we've got something else to do. We're pretty casual about our Sundays, aren't we? We should be more serious about our Sabbaths, our coming together. I think sometimes we're a little bit too casual. That's my view on it. I got a kid that calls me today, and he wished me a happy birthday. And how old are you, Dad? I said, oh, you dumb kid, you don't even know how old your father is. And he goes to church here, there, and everywhere. You think I can get him to settle down and get involved in a church, one church? You know? Does that frustrate me? Yeah. But he's a special kid. He does love the Lord. I'll give him that much. You know? So, do we let each other down? Well, we don't keep the Sabbath. Yeah, I think we do. We look for each other, and when you're not here, we go, whoa, what's going on? What's more important than assembling to worship the living God? Oh, I've got other things to do. Sure you do. That's why you're not really serving the Lord the way you ought to. I'm preaching, I know, so. Sorry, brother, I do that occasionally. It's not that I don't mean to, it's just that sometimes I feel I have to. So, the Sabbath was meant to be a blessing to man and not a burden. Okay? I think sometimes we think of the other way around. Let me check Mark chapter 2 and verse 27, I think is a verse that I wrote down here, because it has to do with who Jesus Christ is in relationship to this day. Mark. That's Matthew. I went too far. Yeah, Matthew 2:27. You see what it says? It says, and he said unto them, this is Jesus, because now you get the red letters, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. Wow. So, Jesus Christ is the whole reason for the Sabbath to be celebrated. Can you understand that? Is that worthwhile coming out to worship together because Jesus Christ is the Lord of the Sabbath? I think so. I would trust that that would be a reason for coming out. I'm pretty sure that God wants us to be assured that this is true. Matthew, I think he says the same thing in Matthew 12, 8. Again, if we read the reason that Jesus says what he does say, you have to look at the whole package there. Chapter 12, verse 2, it says, but when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. Okay, that's the issue. Something going on the Sabbath day. They hungered and they took the ears of corn. But he said unto them, have you not read what David did when he was hungered and they that were with him, how he entered into the house of God and did eat the shewbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither of them which were with him, but only for the priests? For have you not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priests of the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. But if you had known what his meaning, I will have mercy on not sacrifice, ye would not have condemned the guiltless. Here it is, for the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day. So Jesus Christ fulfills the very first feast that God wants man to have is all bound up in his blessed Son. So the rest of the feasts are bound up in this same individual, different ways. So God works his amazing ways, not always the way we think he should work. Okay? That scares me sometimes. No, God, you're not supposed to do that. Sorry, God's going to do it anyway, you know. We pray for, there was a young woman that was fearful her mother was going to die, and she was crying out to God, and God, I want you to heal her, I want you to make her better, I want you to, and the sister said, God will do what's right, and 2 days later, the mother did die, and the daughter was just devastated. She was very angry with God, and the other sister says, What did you pray for? Well, I prayed that God would make her better. She's in glory right now. Don't you think she's better? So who are we to decide how God is going to make someone better? We cry out, oh God, heal this one. Well, maybe God's got another plan. Oh God, might your will be done to help that one. Would be a better prayer than, oh God, heal that one. That's God's choice, not yours. Who are we to populate God's heaven? He's amazing how he populates his heaven. Anxious to get there to find out. I'm going to surprise a lot of people, but that's another story. So, the Sabbath was not meant to be a burden. It was meant to be a blessing. But you have to keep it in order for it to be a blessing. Okay? So, I think that's the one thing we have to remember when we come to these proofs of what the Word of God is teaching us. How do they keep the feasts? Well, the feasts are amazing in the sense that you have to know how the Jew measured his days. He goes by a lunar calendar, not by our Gregorian calendar. So you're going to get different times of their feasts as to what ours is like. The best one that everybody knows about is Hanukkah. Do you know when Hanukkah? That's the way it's pronounced. It's a chet sound in the front there. So when is Hanukkah observed this year, do you know? It's going to be around Christmas Eve, I think, this year. Pretty much coincides with Christmas that we celebrate. But why does that come about? And last year it was 2 weeks before. And then, so what's going on? Well, they have a calendar of the lunar year was 29 and a half days. Conversely, you would have 29 and 30 days every other month. And the way they figure things is by the full moon. And the full moon of the first harvest, which was barley, when that happened and the full moon appeared at the first sign of the barley harvest, that was when Passover was to be observed. And they would blow trumpets and light fires and tell Israel all that that's the time of Passover. So then you have unleavened bread for 8 days. Then you have 50 days from that you have to count back. So to our calendar, it's going to change, but there somehow they fit it together. I've got something that they were explaining it, and they lost me in their explanation as to how. Okay, I'm not even going to go there. Just be concerned that they kind of figured it out through the days, because in every 12 years they'll add a day, like we do the leap year kind of thing. So it gets a little confusing. So I didn't want to go there. I'm confused enough. But the whole point is, so their days and their feasts kind of bounce around in our calendar year. They're not always the same like ours are. Ours are, kind of set, and we can guarantee that they're going to be at these particular times. But theirs not so, and that's why, because they have a lunar calendar. They have the first of the months is Adar. Okay, that's the Sabbath day of Adar. It's Purim when it starts, and Adar starts February and March. And March and April is Aviv, and that's the Passover. You'll find that in March, April. And April, May, we'll have another time of Ziv. So the different ones will fit into the different months. They have a December, January. That's in that area. Then you have January, February. Then you have February, March. So they fit those things into our calendar. So that's how we come up today to be able to understand them. But Adar is the first one. Abib is the second one. Sivan is the Feast of Weeks. Ethanim is the Feast of Trumpets, or the Day of Atonement. And then there's the Feast of the Ingathering or of Tabernacles. which is Chislu. There's a feast of dedication, which will be Hanukkah. That's really the dedication of the temple. Somebody says it's 8 days the oil lasted, and that's the miracle. Well, it was the reason it was 8 days was because they took them that long to cleanse the temple. That was a ritual of 8 days, and the oil miraculously lasted that 8 days. So the whole deal was they had to spend that time to dedicate the temple. And the scripture does talk about that. Jesus walked in the temple on the day of dedication. So that's the only indication that I could see of Hanukkah in the New Testament or in the New Testament. So the first thing they do is the Sabbath day. Okay? Well, I guess we got to go back to Leviticus in order to pick up the other ones that are were spoken about. So why don't we go on back to Leviticus 23? And we'll pick the narrative up. Verse 4, it says, "These are the feasts of the Lord, that is, holy convocations, which ye shall proclaim in their season. In the 14th day of the first month, at even, is the Lord's Passover. And on the 15th day of the same month is the feast of unleavened bread unto the Lord. 7 days ye shall eat unleavened bread. In the first day ye shall have an holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein, or no menial work. But ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord 7 days. In the seventh day is a holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein." The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when ye come into the land which I give unto you, and shall reap the harvest thereof, then ye shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest, and ye shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted for you on the morrow after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. And ye shall offer that day when you wave the sheaf and he lamb without blemish of the first year for a burnt offering unto the Lord." Can you see the lamb being brought into even the first fruits here? So he says you're to have a festival or a feast of the first fruits. You shall wave the sheaf, the first fruits that come before me. And who is that first fruits? You shall take a he lamb without blemish the first year. So here we have Jesus Christ even being proclaimed to Israel, and they missed it. "And the meat offering, therefore, shall be 2 tenths deals of fine flour mingled with oil, an offering made by fire unto the Lord for a sweet savor, and the drink offering thereof shall be of wine, the fourth part of a hin. And ye shall eat neither bread nor parched corn nor green ears until the selfsame day that you have brought the offering unto our Lord. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations in all your dwellings." Wow. He wants it kept forever. He wants the Sabbath day and the feast to be kept continually as you go along, not just once in a while. But it's a ritual, an ongoing process. "And you shall count unto you from the morrow." Here's where you get the Pentecost. "And you shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be complete. Even unto the morrow after the 7th Sabbath shall you number 50 days, and you shall offer a new meat offering unto the Lord. And you shall bring out of your habitations 2 wave loaves of 2 2-tenth deals. They shall be of fine flour, and they shall be baked with leaven. They are the first fruits unto the Lord. And you shall offer the bread of, and you shall offer with the bread 7 lambs without blemish of the first year, and 1 young bullock and 2 rams. They shall be for a burnt offering unto the Lord, with their meat offering and their drink offerings, even an offering made by fire of sweet savor unto the Lord. So it's rather ritualistic, is it not? It takes your effort. It takes time. It takes the values of those things that you have to offer You don't just come casually before the Lord and do what you want to do. Now, there's something else that he says. There are some times when you're supposed to come before the Lord. Three times. Yes, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 16. So, with all of this coming, you're supposed to come three times. And you see all the activities that it takes to come. You have to do all the provision. You got to bring the sacrifice. It costs you. You don't just come casually and stand there with your hands in your dungarees saying, okay, what do you got for me, God? You know, you come with a lamb without blemish. You come 7 days. You come unleavened bread. You come after the sheaf. You come. So it's a process that you have to do. It isn't one of these casual, okay, here I am. What are you going to do now for God? That's sometimes our casual attitude, I'm afraid, isn't it? Ho-hum, here I am, God. What are you going to do with me? It takes effort. It takes work. If you don't think so, then you get in my shoes and you come up these stairs sometimes. You get out of bed like I do and get here. I'm here with effort. It cost me to get here to do this. I wouldn't do anything else. Until God takes me, I want to do this. Until you say go or God says go. Because it burns within me and I can't do anything else. My God is too awesome to just casually come before him. Deuteronomy 16. Did I say that? Okay. And I'm sorry. No wonder I'm mixed up today. I'm in Genesis. Bear with me. My wife goes through this constantly. So remember Rhonda when you think of a frustrated woman. First it was my mother, then my sister, and now my wife. And then my daughter, too. She fits in there, too. She gets frustrated with her dad. But she did send me a card. It said, incoming hug. And it's like this, but it's a cat. Did you ever toss a cat in the air and see the cat stick its paws out like that? It's the cat like that. It says, hug, incoming hug. And I'm going, it cracked me up because when we were kids, we always had cats around the house. My mother loved cats, so we always had cats. And with kittens. So we used to fool around with a kitten. You take the kitten when it was, you know, not quite a year old and toss it at each other. And you know how the cat lands? And if my brother had a T-shirt on, so I tossed it to him. The cat nailed him. Oh, wasn't he mad at me? But, you know, incoming hug. So that's my daughter. So in Deuteronomy 16:16, it says, three times in a year shall all thy males appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he hath chose. You see, like you don't just come casually at church. You come to the place that I choose, God says. You don't just make up your mind, I'm going to go worship God here, there, everywhere. No, you come where I want you to worship me. This is what God's saying, isn't he? He's saying, where I choose. In the feasts of unleavened bread, and in the, I'm sorry, let me back up. Three times a year shall all thy males appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose. In the feasts of unleavened bread, that's the first one. In the feast of weeks, that's the second one. And the feast of tabernacles. And they shall not appear before the Lord empty. What does that mean? You better bring something to God? Oh, I'm going to bring something that I got to God? What do you got that God wants? You ever something to think about that? You know what that empty means? The Hebrew of that? It means, not empty means ineffectually, undeservedly, without cause. You come to God his way and see what God will do for you. You come to God your way and you're going to reap something you don't want. But you come to God his way and see what he'll do for you. You don't come empty. You come undeservedly. Look how he's filled you with righteousness and holiness Isn't he awesome? We have an opportunity to worship him together. Okay, so are we going to go out and ring the bell on me? Because that clock says it's about... Okay, go bell ringer, go ring the bell, please. So Lord willing, we'll look at the feast. We'll start with Passover next week. No, I'm sorry. No, next week Tom's going to be here, right? Okay, I hope you don't forget because I'll... Okay, Tom will be here, and if you wonder how the Bible came together, what's the canon? Okay, Tom's going to bring us that, and then I'll come back with, Lord willing, some of the feasts. Like I say, Lord willing, so, you know, I'm in between that time, one foot on the banana peel and the other one in the grave, why, you know, anything could happen. So, Lord bless you all. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for the bell that rings that tells the town we're still here. Because you're still here. You have not abandoned your children. You have not given up your saints. You have not forsaken the church of God. And Father, we pray for the International Day of Prayer that we would remember these dear persecuted saints of God. Father, that you bless their hearts, that they would know how close you are, how near you are, and how precious you are to them. The Lord, I don't say change their situation. Just draw them closer to thyself. That they might know that thou art the living God and they trust thee. So we thank you for sharing with us today. Bless Brother Linville as he starts his ministry here. Might it be a blessed time for each and every one of us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.